Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. The ground may be frozen and soon to be covered in snow, but gardening and yard work is never far from the mind of contributor Melinda Myers. And if that's your MO as well, you'll be interested to learn she has not one, not two, but four new garden books, either on the shelves or about to reach a bookstore or library shelf near you. She stopped by the Lake Effect studio recently to give Mitch Tyke an overview of the new titles, starting with the one that's already out.
Those folks who have bought my garden guides in the past, I've updated it. It's a new title, Getting Started Garden Guide, and we've combined Minnesota and Wisconsin. I'd done both books, so I'm very conscious of the difference between Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and northern Minnesota, and I mentioned that. But I talk about plants. I've added, I think about 50 new plants to the book. Got rid of some of the older plants that I warned you about being too aggressive or invasive, so hopefully I got that message over to you so I can save that space and put something new and different in. Updated cultivars, talked about some combinations and new varieties to try. So I'm very excited. It just came out. Hopefully people who have the original or the second edition will consider this one, or it's a great gift for beginning and experienced gardeners.
And we should note that you also have another version for Michigan as well.
You bet. So anybody listening from across the lake or with relatives, I've been lucky enough to do quite a bit of work over in Michigan. I always say they're on the milder side of the lake. So I have a few extra plants that they can grow that we can't. But, you know, with that last snowfall, they had a little more snow than we did. So I guess it all evens out.
Now, the title that always helps me prepare for these interviews is the month-by-month gardening in Wisconsin book. You have a new version of that that you've also combined with Minnesota, and that's coming out in December.
You bet. So the month-by-month Minnesota, Wisconsin book is really the same concept, what to do when, but it's reorganized. Finding that gardeners found it would be easier that if you open up January and you see everything you need to do in January with all your garden plants, and then in February. So I talk about lawns, trees, shrubs, ground covers, ornamental grasses, herbs and vegetables. So trying to help you address those things that'll help you prepare for what you need to do now for the season ahead, or pest problems you might encounter, or some ideas of how to be more successful and, of course, have fun in your garden.
And I misspoke. That title is available in January, correct?
Right.
The one coming out in December is the Midwest Gardener's Handbook.
You bet. So taking a broader scope, looking around the Midwest, a lot on plants, some plant profiles. A few we can't grow, but we can only drool. And maybe those, you know, people with zone envy might give them a try. But also combining some month-by-month tips, combination plants that are good throughout most of the Midwest. So 90%, if not 95% of the plants we can grow. I took care of us here in Wisconsin, believe me.
Well, an exciting time, and we'll be looking for those at a bookstore or a library near us.
Thanks.
Melinda Myers is our regular gardening contributor. She's also the author of numerous books on gardening, including her latest, The Getting Started Garden Guide for Minnesota and Wisconsin, The Getting Started Guide for Michigan, The Midwest Gardener's Handbook, and Month-by-Month Gardening in Minnesota and Wisconsin. She spoke with Mitch Tyke, and you'll find a link to more about all of the new books at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Moving from garden to table, everyone thinks they have a killer recipe, but it takes a lot more than a single dish to start a restaurant. That said, for people who have their hearts set on bringing their unique sauce or chocolate or tortilla to mouths around the community, an incubator kitchen allows them to dip their toe into the food prep waters to see if they have what it takes. In many ways, the incubator model is changing the culture of restaurant ownership while bringing a diversity of flavors to community tables. Material culture contributor Jennifer Fields explores how sharing the very materials required to make food changes our relationship with it. She speaks with Chef Adam Hain, manager of Feed Kitchen on Madison's North Side. Feed, which stands for Food Enterprise Economic Development, offers a state-certified food preparation space as well as business support. Hain says the model helps small business entrepreneurs like food cart owners.
We have a really good food cart scene in Madison. And when you have food carts, you have to find places to work. I mean, they have to have a base kitchen to work from because you can't produce in the food cart. And you can't do it out of your home kitchen because you actually have to have a certified separate kitchen. So it's the trying to find spaces to rent. There's a lot of different rules, and they've been getting tougher and tougher on things, so it makes it harder for the restaurant owner and for the cart owner. It just makes it a little bit of a challenge.
Is this the new look for restaurants now? Is this sort of a new trend, and we're going to see the culture of being a restaurateur or a food producer change? Is that ever changing?
You're still going to see people opening up restaurants and doing, you know, doing the dream restaurant type thing. I've worked for a few of those people in the past. But what this is allowing is more specialization. So you have somebody like one of the Mandy from Mandy's Mood Food, who she can do a lot of stuff, but her passion is hot sauce. So she could have a restaurant where it really featured her hot sauce, but that, you know, that's more than what she wants to do. Maybe down the line that's where she'll end up going, but she's looking more, she can make a fantastic hot sauce. She's got a couple varieties. So she can concentrate on that, and then she can sell that to the restaurants or to the stores, that kind of thing. And then we're working with Wibbick and with a few other places and with some local business people that are mentoring and doing business plans with these people to say, okay, here's the, you know, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year plan. So you have this, we're going to use the kitchen, and in 5 years, are we looking at, do you want to have your own space? In 10 years, are you looking, you want a full-blown restaurant?
When you have the opportunity for so many people in the community who may specialize in chocolates or a hot sauce, or maybe they make an awesome butter cake, talk to me about what that does for the community to have this sort of space available to its users.
It really adds a diversity of everything. I mean, you get a better variety of all different products that can then go out, if it's in the stores, if it's at the farmers markets, if it's at different restaurants, so that your restaurants can really concentrate on what they're good at, or your stores can concentrate on what they're good at, and they don't have to be the jack of all trades. So, you know, in the traditional French restaurant, you have a saucier, you have a pastry chef, you've got a guy whose only specialty is fish. You know, you have all these different people, but realistically, that just doesn't happen anymore. You don't have, most restaurants, you've got a chef, you don't even have a sous chef most time. You got some line cooks and you got some prep guys, and everybody does everything. In order to go for fine French dining, it's two people to a table, it's a 3 to 4 hour event, it's having food prepared at your table, it's all this stuff, which is great and grand and fantastic, but nobody has the time for it anymore. And another big thing that's changed that trend is, frankly, the Food Network. People cook better at home now than they did 20 years ago. There are more people that when they build their house, they build a new house, and the center of that house is not the living room, it's not the den, it's the kitchen. They're putting in kitchens where they actually have stools around their islands that people can sit and chat and have a cup of wine while they're cooking. And it's become more of an event to have an in-house meal and have everybody over, and they're doing fancier stuff than what they're actually going out to eat half the time. So, yeah, I think it's a multi-front change, but I don't think it's a bad thing.
In a really shiny, high-tech equipment kind of way, you've recreated that single hearth that we all cook at.
Yeah, and that really is the idea. My whole job here is, I say I'm the cat herder. I'm the facilitator. My job is to talk to all the users, find out what they want, what they're doing, and then get them working together. So we might have, like, we have the tilt skillet and the steam jacketed kettle here, and we have somebody who wants to do soups. But then we might have somebody else who says, well, you know, I just want to use the grill and I want to use the oven. Well, great. You know, Bob, meet Joe. Joe, meet Bob. Why don't you guys work together? You can split the cost of it. You can work together. You guys can source stuff together rather than everybody having to order separate things. And, yeah, really be able to get that together, get people working together better, which is great. It's funny you talk about communal cooking and whatnot. I grew up in Door County. And Southern Door, Brussels, still every year has their Booyah meal. Everybody in the community brings in ingredients for the Booyah, and it just gets cooked in big pots all day long. And at the end of the night, you have everybody gets a big bowl of Booyah, and you've got bands playing, and it's a big community event. That's the great thing with food, is food really can be a family event, a community event, and food brings people together. So while this is a North Side business, and it's run by the North Side nonprofit and North Side community, it's not just the North Side. We want, you know, we have somebody from Fitchburg, we have people from Verona, we have people from all over Madison. It's making that larger area into a smaller community that can all work from the same place and work together.
Jennifer Field studies material culture at UW-Madison and is the curator of It's a Material World. That project is founded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. Field spoke with Chef Adam Hain of Feed Kitchen in Madison just before an open house information session for potential users. We'll take one last break, and then a fictional Old World Wisconsin curator travels to Iowa and finds the dark side of Norwegian culture, murder. Lake Effect Weekend returns in just a moment on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.